I am not going to keep you long, because I will be quite honest with you. My message is in tatters. So I feel like I should call this the leftovers. When God does something, He certainly does it well. Amen. And this morning, I do have a message that I'm going to bring you some highlights. And I want to share a few thoughts with you, but I do want to say also it's good to have Sister Ann's sister, Sister Kenny, here with us. You might even remember Brother and Sister Kenny traveling through with Faith Promise. They were my wife's pastors many years ago now in the Ripples Church. And I think, did she teach you how to play the piano? She did. She taught her how to play the piano. So I am so thankful for that. Hallelujah. And thank you, Brother George, for that song. So fitting. Luke chapter 19, I want to read two verses of scripture that are found there. When I read my text, and I prepared my message early in the week this week, and I felt this text on my heart, I think you'll understand why my message may be in just a little bit of tatters this morning. Here we go. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, read with me, said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Well, my subject for this morning is shouting rocks. Shouting rocks. Well, I don't think we need the rocks to cry out here this morning. There's been a spirit of praise. We're going to pray, and then we'll get right into this for the next few moments. So pray with me. Father, I thank you for the attitude and atmosphere of praise that's here right now. I pray, Lord, that you'll enable me just to speak faith. I pray you'll enable me to speak encouragement. I pray, Lord, that you'll enable me, Lord, to just minister to somebody in this place today. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Way back in 1975, I remember this, some of you will remember it as well, there was an advertising executive who came up with an idea for a product. His product was Pet Rocks. Anybody remember those? Remember them? We got a picture of them there. My parents would never buy me one. They actually were smooth rocks from a beach in Mexico. They were marketed like they were live pets. As you can see, they came in a box with holes in the side of it so they could breathe. There actually was straw in there so they would be comfortable. They had a little handbook. You can see it on the right-hand side of the screen that was to let you know how to care for and feed your pet rocks. It was 32 pages long. There were several commands that you could teach your pet rock. Some of them you could teach really easily, like sit, stay. There were others like roll over that the owner had to help just a little bit. There were some of the commands that were almost impossible to teach your pet rock, like come, stand, shake hands. They wouldn't do that. Potty training was really simple. They were the perfect apartment pet because they never made a noise. Unbelievably, that fad made a guy rich. It lasted only about 6 months. Although, do you know what? You can still get one on Amazon if you don't have your own personal pet rock. You know, it was silly. But people bought them. I had friends who bought them. And I was at the age where, you know, you want to hook on to whatever the fad is, and your parents, being the, you know, stodgy people that they are, don't really see the value of that. But almost perfect if you lived in an apartment building, because they never opened their mouths. Well, they didn't have a mouth. Perfectly quiet. Because that's what rocks do. Our scripture is about when Jesus was going up to Jerusalem and he was going to be crucified. He knew it. It's called the triumphal entry. And as he's marching towards Jerusalem with his disciples, he sends some of them on ahead to get a donkey, and they bring it back. And, you know, it's amazing because he was God. He could tell them, there's going to be a donkey at such and such a place, a little baby donkey. You're going to get it. If anybody asks you why you're taking it, just say, my master has need of it. Now, it was the equivalent of walking into town and finding a Mercedes and the keys being in it and saying, I've got to take it because the master needs it. Donkeys were expensive in those days. And so they bring the donkey back to Jesus. It's Passover time. The road is kind of clogged. It's kind of like Montreal today with traffic jam. People were going towards Jerusalem for the Passover, and they bring the donkey to Jesus. And I don't know who started it, but all of a sudden, the crowd begins to cry out, and they begin to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And as Jesus is getting ready to get on the donkey, somebody throws their robe on the donkey. And somebody else throws their robe on the donkey, and Jesus gets on, and he begins to ride, and then people begin to take off their outer garments, their coats, and they begin to throw them in the road so that Jesus is, it's not a red carpet, it's a multicolored carpet, and he's coming up towards Jerusalem on this donkey, on the coats of the people who are laying them down in front of him. And people are breaking off palm branches around them. And they're beginning to wave them and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, that's an amazing thing. It was a spontaneous eruption of praise. As people were coming out of the city and people were coming into the city, and they kind of met together and began to sing their songs of praise. See, it was their custom as they were coming to Jerusalem to worship. Did you know that they had a whole section of their hymn book that was titled Songs of Ascent? If you look in the book of Psalms, you'll see psalms that have that title. What that meant was, these are songs to sing on the road going to Jerusalem, because you climbed the hill to Jerusalem. And so they would have their song books. Brother George and I were talking about songbooks last week. And I grew up when that was what you sang from. In my church that I grew up in, we had two of them, Melodies of Praise and Sing Unto the Lord. And you didn't even need to know the title, you just needed to know the number. It's number 45. That's what a friend we have in Jesus. Anybody remember those days? You know, and now we have screens and I'm not getting into that. But they would start to sing as they came, and it was in that environment that they began to lift their voices and they began to shout praise to Jesus. He's riding along as they come. And the gospel tells us it was a great day. It was a feel-good moment as they began to praise. But there was something about that day. The word Hosanna means save us now. So Hosanna means save us now. So they were singing, save us now, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, taking from the Old Testament. The problem with the crowd and the problem with what they were saying was, they were saying, in their minds, they were saying, save us now from the Romans. Jerusalem had been conquered by the Roman army, and the people hated the Romans. And so in their view of the Messiah, They thought Messiah was coming to save them from the Romans, set up a government, gather an army, and that his kingdom would be in Jerusalem forever. And so as they were singing, their expectation was that Jesus will overthrow the Romans. So save us now. Blessed is Messiah. They're singing to Messiah who comes in the name of the Lord. But there was a problem. You see, it was a day of approval. It was a day of joy, a day of expectation. You wonder, how could it be possible that many from that same crowd could no doubt cry out later, crucify him? But the crowd struggled to get it. His own disciples struggled to get it. That Jesus did not come to throw out Caesar. Jesus came to throw out Satan. Now, when I look back at that, I've got to say, I am so glad he didn't march there with an army to throw out Caesar, but I am so thrilled that he was willing to march to Jerusalem to a cross to say, I'm going to do something even greater than what you've ever imagined, because I'm not just going to throw out an army, I'm going to throw out Satan and his power. Hallelujah. He came to overcome Satan. They didn't get it. Throwing out Caesar would have changed things for a generation. Throwing out Satan changed things for all of eternity. Hallelujah. And there are some things I want to bring to you. I promised I would watch the time. So here we go. There's some things we've got to understand. First of all, number one, you praise God for his mighty works which we've seen. I want to talk to you a little bit about, maybe it's teaching, preaching, I don't know what it is, but I want to talk to you a little bit about how we praise God for the things that we have seen. This is important. The crowd that day was motivated by what they had seen and heard. Jesus had fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Lepers were being healed who had never been healed before. The lame were walking. People were being forgiven of their sins, and as a witness, they were healed. Things were happening. Demon-possessed people were being brought back to their families, and they no longer had an issue anymore. Lazarus was raised from the dead after 3 days. You know, after 2 days, they thought it could happen, but everybody knew that after 3 days, nobody gets up. But Jesus decided, I'm going down to where Lazarus is on the third day. Because on the first day, you think it'll happen. On the second day, you think it will happen. But when I get there, you think it'll never happen. But when he walked up to that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody around was saying, nobody can do this. We praise him for what we have seen. Oh, and can I remind you, I know Easter's coming up, and we talk about resurrection at Easter, but can I remind you that Jesus still had one thing that was still coming? He said, with Lazarus, I'm not coming when he's alive. I'm not coming when he's just died. I'm not coming on the second day. I'm going to wait until the third day when everybody said he can't rise. He still had one more thing. He told his disciples, they're going to tear down this temple. Speaking of his body, they're going to tear it down. They're going to destroy it. But on the third day, on the day when no one expects anything to happen, on the third day, I'm going to rebuild this temple. That like as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights, on the third day. Aren't you glad that you know about not the first day or the second day, but you know that on the third day, there's some things that we have seen on the third day experience. You know, there are times in your life that God will take you right up to the third day. And on the first day, you're saying, it might happen. And on the second day, you're saying, I think it might happen, but it's getting late now. And on the third day, when you're saying, uh-oh, it's too late now. Too much time has gone by. It's then that God pops in and says, let me show you what I can do. The God of the third day. You see, you praise him for the things that he's done around you. You praise him for his mighty acts. Every time somebody gets healed, whether it's you or a friend or somebody you just heard of, I've got another reason to say thank you, Jesus. Every time somebody's sins are forgiven, it might not be your family member, but it's somebody's family member. And it's a time to say, "Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done." Every time a prayer is answered, it's a reason to praise him. Every time somebody breaks forth in a new language, it's time to say, "Thank you, Jesus, you're still on the throne." Every time a financial need is met, it's a reason to praise. You know, if you struggle to praise, you may need a blessing book. Here's what I mean by that. You need to sit down. Now, if you struggle to see the good, if you struggle to see the blessing, if you struggle to understand that God is blessing you and all you see is the bad, you may need a blessing book. And what you need to do is sit down, get yourself a journal, get yourself a book, even a piece of paper, and begin to write down on it every blessing you've ever received. Write it down. He healed me. He healed my child. He healed my father or my mother or my friend. He met my financial need when I thought that I couldn't get it, make my way through. He provided. He brought a job for me when I didn't think I could have a job. He brought it through. And write it down. And when you get to the point where you're having your own little party of one, it's time to dig out your blessing book and begin to read through it. And there's an old, we're talking about the songbook. There's an old song in the songbook that says, "When upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. And when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings." Count your blessings. The enemy wants you to think about every problem you've got, every trial you've got, everything you have never received. But when you begin to count your blessings, when you begin to name them, and you begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you blessed me. Thank you that you healed me. Thank you that you touched me. Thank you that you brought me through," I'll tell you what will happen. Your faith begins to rise as you look at what's going on around you, and you say, "If God did it for me before, then God will do it again. God will do it again." Hallelujah. You know, I told myself, I'm preaching three times today. I told myself that in sermon number one, it's going to be proper price. I blew that. Psalm 150, verse number 2, last chapter of the book of Psalms, he wraps it up, and he said, "Praise him for his mighty acts." He didn't say, "Praise him because you feel good." He didn't say, "Praise him because the sun is shining." He didn't say, "Praise him because everything lined up exactly the way you thought it would." He said, "But you praise him for his mighty acts." You praise him for what he has done. But he goes on, "And praise him for his excellent greatness." You know what the enemy tries to do? For somebody here this morning, the enemy's come along, whispered in your ear, or your self-doubt has whispered in your ear, you can't praise the Lord like that because you're a hypocrite. You made a mistake. You had an issue, and you can't lift your hands, you can't clap your hands, you can't lift your voice, because that would be hypocritical. And I've learned something, that whenever the devil comes to whisper in your ear, do the opposite. Now, if you don't write down anything else that I say this morning, this is worth the offering. Whatever the voice of the devil and the flesh tell you to do, do the opposite. You know, I had somebody ask me one time, they said, "Pastor, you know, I had this, it's like this something speaking to me saying, go pray. Is that God or the devil? So, you know what? You don't even have to. That's God, because the devil doesn't want you to pray. He'll say, you can't pray because, back 10 years ago. Last week. You say, well, what do I do if I've got something in my life? Because sin does separate. Sin does hinder. But what do? I don't say I can't lift my hands. I don't say that I can't worship. Here's what I do. I say, Jesus, you know what's going on. You know what I did or what I said or what I thought. And Jesus, forgive me. I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I'll tell you what to do. Lift your hands and give God the biggest shout of praise that you can ever give him. You say, well, You say, well, I don't, you know, let me just take a poll here. It's always dangerous, but I'll try. I'll brace myself. How many of you have ever come to church and you didn't feel any presence of God at all? Nothing. Nada. Okay, come on. What? I thought everybody had their hands up. Okay, you can put them down. I got mine up. Because there are some times that I've come into church and I haven't felt a whole lot of anything. Now, if you, you know, I hope you're not sitting there saying, now, we need a more spiritual pastor. Like, we really need a pastor that's in touch with God all the time. Let me say this. Feeling does not mean that you are in touch with God, and not feeling does not mean you are out of touch with God. You see, I don't worship God because I feel. Oh, I love to feel. But I worship God because he's done great things and he is worthy of my praise. So if I don't feel anything, you'll never know it, because I'm still going to be worshiping God. My hand's still going to be up in the air, because I have faith that when I praise him, he hears me. And if I don't feel him again, I'm still going to praise him. And I've come with a message for somebody that's been here today, and you've been looking around and you see people getting touched and emotionally blessed and all of that, and you say, what's wrong with me? I'll tell you what to do. Just keep praising God, because your time will come. Your time will come. There'll be a time when you lift your hands and woo, it's just like, wow, woo. And that other person that today is like, woo, they'll be standing there saying, whoa, I wish I had a little of that today. Because you don't worship because of feeling. You worship because of faith. Faith. Because here's number two. Praise and worship is not rooted in my perception, but in God's greatness. Psalm 145 said this. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. Ooh, look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious. And he is full of compassion. I think every one of us should be going, thank you, Jesus, for that one. He said, not only that, he is slow to anger. You say, I don't know why God doesn't just burn them up because of what they've done. Aren't you thankful he didn't burn you up? He is of great mercy. Oh, and then verse number 9. The enemy comes along and says, God is not good to you. But he said, the Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works, that's you and me, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. I close. I got a couple of statements I got to give you. The first one is, I want to talk to you about a little story. We've been talking about the book of Philippians in Wednesday night Bible study. For those of you who are in Wednesday night Bible study, you know that the church of Philippi was founded by the apostle Paul and Silas. Lydia and her family were the first converts. Those of you who aren't in Bible study, you need to be in Bible study, by the way. Lydia and her family were the first converts. I got a couple amens there. Lydia and her family were the first converts. And then close along with that was a man who was in charge of the jail in Philippi. He was converted. And as a matter of fact, Paul and Silas took this guy and his family out in the middle of the night and baptized him. All the family, everybody, baptized them all in the middle of the night. Could I get a thank you, Jesus, for that? Ooh, that was kind of weak. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad he did it? But here's the part I didn't tell you. You see, I'm so glad for the Philippian jailer getting baptized and all of his family getting baptized. But let me tell you what happened first. Paul and Silas were taken by the authorities. They were beaten and whipped. They were put in jail, bound hand and foot. You never know when you come to a constricted place in your life who God is setting up for a miracle. Yes, yes. And when you learn that I will praise him in the constricted place, I will praise him when my hands are tied, I will praise him when my feet are tied and I can't get anywhere and I can't do anything, but all I've got is my mouth, I still will praise him. Because I'll tell you, sometimes what's happening is God is setting you up for a miracle. So let me tell you what happened. They're in the jail cell. Clock's ticking. It comes to midnight. It's dark. They didn't care about the comfort of the prisoners. There probably was no nightlight. And so the Bible says, well, let's go there. Can we go to the book of Acts, Brother Dwayne? Acts chapter 16. Oh, and by the way, verse 24 said they put them in the inner dungeon. That's where they don't want you to get out. But notice verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. This is the New Living. And did you notice this? That other prisoners were listening. Because you didn't often hear amazing, I know it wasn't written then, but work with me. You didn't often hear Amazing Grace being sung at midnight in the prison cell by prisoners who had been tortured. And it's neat to me that it says as they were praying and as they were singing hymns, there were others around them that were listening. I've come to preach to you today that you may walk through the dark place in life, but if you keep singing, there's somebody who's watching and listening, and there's somebody that God is setting up for divine intervention. So you need to see this. The other prisoners were listening. There was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundation. The doors immediately flew open. The chains of the prisoners fell off. And everybody, now this is a miracle, is that all the chains fell off, the doors opened. A greater miracle, maybe, is that all the prisoners stayed in their cells. Imagine. Because you see, what God was saying, I got something I want to show you. You praise me in the tough time. I want to show you what I can do. I read that in the message, and come back just so I'll quit, because it feels so good in here. There's still such a spirit of expectation here right now. The message put it this way. Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. They were not singing a feel sorry for me song. It wasn't a dirge. They were singing, I like the way he put it there, a robust hymn. You know, to me, a robust hymn is like, when we all get to heaven. I'm not going to sing it now. You can tell. I'm not singing anything. To me, a robust hymn is something like, great are you, Lord. A they robust him, and the other prisoners couldn't believe their eyes. A while back, I talked about bold faith in speaking, but there are some in action, but there are some times you never know who is watching as you go through your trial, as you walk through your valley. You don't know who is watching you and listening to the song that you sing. Because praise is not about I feel good. Praise is about God is good. And a statement I want you to remember is never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Paul and Silas could have just nursed their wounds in the prison cell, but they never forgot. They were saying, God, you've been with us every step of the way, and you're not done yet. And we don't know, you know, the thing about God, he doesn't tell you the whole plan ahead. And we don't know, God, what you're up to, but here's the one thing we can do. We're going to praise you anyway. I can't clap my hands, but I can move my lips. He couldn't even stomp his foot. But he was saying, I'm going to praise you. Here's something else to remember, that sometimes, you aren't praising to get out of things. Now, we all want to get out of things. Sometimes you are not praising to get out of things. Sometimes you are praising to get through things. Got to close this. Verse 40. You know, when they were praising Jesus, the Pharisees came and said, Master, you got to tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the stones that have, now he's using hyperbole, he's using a metaphor, but he's saying these things that cannot speak, something is going to sing praise. Something's going to lift a voice in praise. I read that and I thought, Lord, I really want that to be me. In Psalm 150 and verse number 3, stand with me as we close. Psalm 150. You know what Jesus was saying? Even the cold stone, even the silent stone. The last I checked, the stone doesn't have a mouth, a tongue, or vocal cords. But he said, there is something so great going on that if these people can't praise, even with limited understanding of what's going on, if they can't praise, then God's going to raise up something somewhere that's going to declare praise. Look at Psalm 150. I know it's familiar, but here we go. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him. Somebody said, I don't know about all that dancing and shouting and noise. Look at this. Praise him with the timbrel. You know what a timbrel is? It's a tambourine. He said, praise him with the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments. You know, if you don't like guitars and all the rest of it, you're going to have a problem. He said, praise him with the organs. Now, it wasn't a Hammond organ like we have today, but he said, praise him with the organs. And then he said, praise him upon, could you hit that high-sounding cymbal for me? He said, praise him on the high cymbal. He said, praise him on, oh, I got it backwards. He said, first of all, praise him on the loud cymbal. Then he said, if you don't have enough of that, praise him on the high-sounding cymbal. You got a high one? Whoa. And then in verse number 6, we got to coordinate better, don't we? On verse number 6, look at what he said. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Would you do that right now? Hallelujah. we give you praise right now. We're in the middle of it now, but we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Let everything. Hallelujah. He didn't just say, let every perfect person. He didn't say, let everybody who's never had a problem. Because frankly, if you've never had a problem, how do you know you're going to praise him through the problem? But when you've had a problem and you've praised him, you know when you come to the next one that I can lift my voice and praise him because I'm coming through. I'm coming through. If you have breath, even if you've only got a little breath, if you got breath, you can praise the Lord. And when you praise him, I got to bring this to a close. We are going to close, but oh, there's something happening here right now. Praise opens your spirit to God. It's part of, praise is for God, to God. But when you praise God, the Bible teaches us that God inhabits the praises. Now, in the Old Testament, it says of his people, which was Israel. But God inhabits the praise of his people today. And when you begin to praise him, I'll tell you what happens. It's so hard not to give you everything. I'll tell you what happens. When you begin to praise him, you walk into church and all you're thinking about is the bad things that happened yesterday. But when you begin to praise him, all of a sudden you see the good God who's on the throne. When you're coming to church and the kids are fighting on the way to church and your spouse was holding you up and you're a little grumpy, I'll tell you what praise does. Praise makes you forget about all of that and focus your mind on a God who is worthy. And when you do that, it reorients and recalibrates your mind. And so I think we've already had one altar call this morning, though we weren't at the front. But I want us, we're going to sing. We're going to praise. I know if you have to leave, I understand. But I know that God is here to do something. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. If you need something still from the Lord, no shame in that. If you need a touch from the Lord or you want prayer, I want you to make your way right down here as quickly as possible. I'm going to pray for you. The ministry is going to pray for you because you can be healed. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be forgiven. Whatever it is, God is here on the throne for you right now. And there's an atmosphere of the miraculous in this place right now. So we're going to sing and we're going to praise God. And as we do, if you need something from the Lord, I want you to come and stand here. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. There's such faith and power here right now. Whatever you need, you can receive it right now.